So, because this is really essentially the last day we have for the sugya, because we have to start Chazara next week, so we're going to have to make this discussion represent the whole sugya, even though there's a lot more we could say. But just there is a certain general issue that lurks in the background. And as we started to emphasize the interaction of this prohibition of Baal Tosef with the seemingly contradictory idea that Chazal have added on mitzvos, so understanding that is not just a parallel topic, it's also about Baal Tosef. It probably goes to the core of what Baal Tosef is about. So what we saw, we discussed the Ramban in his commentary to Chumash, who gives two reasons why dinim d'rabbanan are acceptable. One, because they are commanded by the Torah, that we'll try to address a little bit in tomorrow's Parsha Shir, and also because it's clear. Now, just as a heads up, that still leaves us to figure out how other dinim d'rabbanan come into the equation, such as Hanukkah and Purim, concepts that are not necessarily siag-oriented. So we do have dinim d'rabbanan that don't fit into this definition, and we have to understand how that's justified. And that there is a whole discussion. The Gemara suggests that the Nevi'im, in the case of Purim at least, were able to find some kind of a hint in the Torah that this was something that could develop. The Gemara also discusses Purim being a Kal V'chomer from Pesach, and that building on what we already have, so then we can find room for other Drabbanans also, even if they don't fit into this Geder Siag notion. We discussed the Rambam and his Machlokas with the Ravid, that the Rambam expects that in order not to violate Baal Tosef, it has to be clear that we're dealing with rabbinic law, and the Ravid's not worried about that. The Ravid says, no, this is not what we're talking about. What we mean is relating to a mitzvah saseh. Now, just to say a few more words about that before pondering its implications for other things. So there are some interesting questions to ask. And you saw today the Tosfos in Psachim that talks about Makom Shenagu, the idea that when you go to a place that they practice a certain custom, so you're supposed to follow their custom. But Tosfos has the opinion there that that's assuming that the custom that they're observing, they know it's not the Din Minat Torah. They have accepted a minig as a chumrah. But if they mistakenly think what they're doing is a Din Minat Torah when it isn't, so then it comes out that you're not supposed to do what they are doing. You don't have to, maybe you're not supposed to. So this is discussed by the Kadosh Glover Rav, mentioned on occasion, in his Sefer Siach HaSadeh. I think I mentioned that title to you recently also, where he notes that perhaps this is because of the Rambam. So we talked a little bit yesterday about who bears the achrayus for the potential Baal Tosef when there is a lack of clarity about where a mitzvah comes from or where an isser comes from. So we noted that those who are supposed to transmit it clearly are going to have the achrayus to make sure that it is transmitted clearly. So here a suggestion is that so too, if you come to a place and they're observing a minig based on an incorrect belief about the Torah, so then you're not supposed to just let that slide, because that's a situation of Baal Tosef, and one should take that on and confront that mistake. So, okay, it's an interesting application. We'll have a few more, as we'll come to in a few minutes. But what seems to really be at stake here, as far as the Rambam and the Ravid? So, aside from just answering the question of how did dinim d'rabbanan exist in light of Baal Tosef, aside from addressing the question of why we say Suffolk d'rabbanan lahakil, we mentioned yesterday, does the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, revolve around anything that's central to understanding what Baal Tosef is about. Something in a more basic sense. What would you say? Anybody, what do you think? Does this affect the question of what Baal Tosef is? A little bit. But a little more than that. Yes, Daniel?
Adding the silver standing to himself.
Okay, work with that, yeah. So who said which in that?
The Rambam said adding two in the silver versus the red instead of adding a whole mitzvah.
Probably the other way around. Right, so the Rambam would say adding a mitzvah, the Rabbi would say adding to a mitzvah. So then, now work with that. So, what do you think that suggests about what their understandings of Baal Tosef would be? It seems that there's a pretty fundamental issue here. Yes, Daniel?
That is the, yes, their understanding of, is that Baal Tosef about not adding on additional mitzvahs on top of like the 613 that we have? Or is it about sort of changing God's mitzvot that you're trying to make them better versions of what they are?
Okay, so that really seems to be an issue here. Right? That essentially the Ravid understands a more limited version of Baal Tosef. That Baal Tosef is about a mitzvah. That a mitzvah should be done the way it's commanded. And it's not up to us to edit a mitzvah. To decide that we're going to do it more or less. Now, it's very interesting just to consider what Baal Tigra comes to teach us in general, because Baal Tigra, you should think, however you understand it, is pretty self-evident. That if the Torah says, if the Torah says, do a mitzvah this way, so then presumably it means that's what we have to do it. We wouldn't really think that we should be able to reduce it. And if we think of Baal Tigra as paralleling the other possibility, that it means removing a mitzvah completely, so then again, why would we think that we're able to do that? So, yes?
I mean, for the Rambam, you do have examples where the Rambam had the ability to repeal the mitzvahs without Shofar Rosh Hashanah.
Right, which the Rashba applies here.
So you'd say that part of the Rambam's ideology that it's all about differentiating between how you state what you're doing, as in you're not saying that it's derisive, you don't have to blow shofar on Shabbos. It's that we're making a decree that you shouldn't do it, and that would make a lot of sense. Like that's what the Baal Tigra is coming to stop. Like to make sure that you, if you do it, that you declare that to Rabbanan and not a derisive.
That's the point you're saying. So that you have, that it's all addressed to the rabbis. So can an individual violate Baal Tigra according to that?
No, according to Rambam, it seems like an individual couldn't violate.
So all it is an instruction to the rabbis that when they take the step through the power vested in them to scale back a mitzvah, that they make clear what it is. Now that also seems like it'd be self-evident. Like the idea that you can't take things away from the Torah.
Isn't it more than Baal Tosef?
So that's an interesting question, which I'm wondering, does Baal Tigra exist? Like, is Baal Tigra something which has independent violations that you would not have known otherwise? Or is it really there to fortify? Its real impact really is to fortify things that would have been problematic anyway, doing mitzvos in an insufficient way or removing mitzvos. But its main purpose in existence is maybe to parallel Baal Tosef. And to essentially make the point that the Hosafa is just as bad as the Giron. The Hosafa that you would have thought that is okay, but now that we have the couplet of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, that essentially it comes to define what Baal Tosef is about. Daniel?
Do we see in the writing of the Rambam and the writing that the way, do we need to assume that the way they respectively hold by Baal Tigra the exact same way they hold Baal Tosef?
Do we see that? Not necessarily. And there's also probably more to the Rambam, as we'll discuss in a minute.
There's more
within Baal Tosef.
That's different from Baal Tigra.
Yeah. But what seems to emerge is that, so the Ra'avad understands it as a din in how mitzvahs are performed. That we shouldn't think that we have the right to just take the concept of a mitzvah and run with it. Now, just as a ha'ari here, by the way, while we're talking about that, it's interesting to note that the Netziv, in his commentary to Chumash, points out that this is a din that is specific to the chukim, really, to the more ritually oriented mitzvahs. A mitzvah like a tzedakah, a mitzvah that's a ben adam l'chaveiro, where we seem like we understand what the mitzvah is about. So there, to take the idea further, that should for sure be okay. So it's an important and interesting chiluk that Baal Tosef is only applicable to these mitzvahs where we don't really understand what their structure represents. You're raising your hand? So, yeah.
Who said that?
The Netziv in his commentary to Chumash. So it seems like the Ra'avad is saying that this is about how you do mitzvahs, while the Rambam is saying something broader here, that to add on to the body of the Torah, to add on new rules, that's where you have a prohibition of Baal Tosef. That's a very interesting idea. The Menachas Chinuch has a Chakira, according to the Rambam, or at least according to anybody, would Baal Tosef apply if you add on a totally new concept? Or does it only apply when you add on a detail of an existing concept? So, for example, the Rambam's favorite case study here about Basar Ov. So is it just because we took the rule of Basar B'chalav and you added on to it Ov, that's where you have a problem? But if you were to make up a mitzvah completely that doesn't have any connection to an existing one, then what would the story be? So there are those who suggest that it should be totally on this machlokas. That if you're saying like the Ra'avad, that it's about how you do a mitzvah, so then a completely new mitzvah is not going to be subject to Baal Tosef at all. But within the Rambam's idea that adding on mitzvos is changing the Torah, essentially, and that's where you have a problem, so then that should apply whether you're just extending one of the mitzvos that already exist, or whether you are adding on something completely new. Now, this could affect the issue we also started to talk about yesterday. Seems to be a machlokus rishonim. What if you would do a mitzvah twice? Or what if Chazal would tell you to do a mitzvah twice? Would that be a violation of Baal Tosef?
Does it matter if you make bracha now?
It probably does matter, but let's leave that question outside.
Does it matter if you bracha by color or for how long?
Probably for both. But let's leave that question aside just for simplicity's sake. Daniel?
I guess it depends on like the nature of the mitzvah and how like what do you mean by doing it twice? Like, if it's like you do it and then you do it again, it might be better than like if you're sort of repeating all the actions together. Basically, how it's connected. For example, if it's like sitting in the sun an extra day, it's like, oh, you're just repeating this you did, but it's also in connection with the previous 7 days, so it's more connected. I think the more connected it is to the previous mitzvah, the more of an issue would be. Versus if you're doing the same mitzvah two separate times, it seems to be fine.
So you're presumably right that the more connected it would be, and that the Gemara raises this issue of Ha'iluchudei Koi, which also highlights this idea of it being connected to an existing mitzvah. So here we see this machlokas rishonim. Tosus in a few places says that doing a mitzvah twice is not Baal Tosef. The Rashba, two places in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah, he does not accept this premise, but he says that the cases where we have Chazal telling us to repeat a mitzvah, like for example, the extra tekiyas in Rosh Hashanah, that is not a problem of Baal Tosef because it comes from Chazal's instruction. Again, in line with what we mentioned before. So here the Rambam and the Ravid seem to be involved in this issue also, because you saw the Rambam in Hilchos Luluv Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin says the Rambam Kama Noitel Mehen Lulav Echad V'Estrog Echad V'Shnei Badei Arava V'Shlosha Badoi Hadas. Right, that's what we're familiar with. V'Yim Ratzel Lahosif B'Hadas Kedei She'a Agud V'Gedoi L'Maisif V'Noi Mitzvah. You can add on to the Hadas. Aval Shara Minim Ein Mosif V'Nal Minyonam V'Yim Gerd Mehem V'Yim Hosif Ogara Pasul. So the other minim you cannot add and you cannot take away. And if you do, it is possible. So the Ravid argues on this. Says the Ravid, V'lo shamati me'olam psul b'zeh, V'lo iser tosefes, V'lo girua. V'yafilu Rabbi Yehuda d'amar lulav tzorach eged. Even if you want to say lulav needs an eged. He goes on for a while. Still not going to be a problem with Moses. But Kol Shekhen, the Rabbana, and the Amrein, Tzorech Eged. The Amrein, and Ha'ilu Chudei Koi, and Ha'ilu Chudei Koi. So, what seems to be the case, and Achronim point this out in isolation from the Dinam Drabbana part, but it seems to be that it's really related, is that you have this Machlokis here also. That the Ravid is saying, what is Baal Tosef? Baal Tosef is in expanding the range of one mitzvah. But doing a mitzvah a second time, that's not going to be Baal Tosef. So really, this Rambam might be l'shitaso with his notion of adding on mitzvahs in general. That anything that adds to the whole corpus of the Torah, that's going to be a violation of Baal Tosef. While the Ravid would see it in a more limited sense, that it's essentially just in the performance of a specific mitzvah. Now, the Rambam presumably, more than presumably, agrees that the performance of a mitzvah with an added component is also Baal Tosef. So it seems like the Rambam really has two forms of Baal Tosef. One, like the other Rishonim, a idea that the mitzvah is done with an extra component. And this extra idea that anything that adds on to the whole package of mitzvahs is also risking Baal Tosef. So whether it's adding more mitzvahs, like we spoke about with Dinam D'Rabbanan, or whether it is doing a mitzvah again, so it looks like you have this mitzvah in more iterations, that's going to be Baal Tosef. Moshe?
You say that it's not that there's a mitzvah, an opinion of Baal Tosef on another mitzvah, but that the mitzvah itself is no longer a mitzvah?
So it's no longer a mitzvah, or it's a mitzvah done with the sister?
Right, so it would be two separate things, meaning it's either a mitzvah with Baal Tosef, or because of adding on, it's not really Baal Tosef, it's just not a mitzvah anymore.
What,
there is no thing
we can do. Well, the question is, you could say that then maybe without the Isser of Baal Tosef, saying it just doesn't fit the picture. Why is it not a mitzvah anymore?
Because of Baal Tosef.
Right, so what do you mean, that because you changed the parameters of the mitzvah, or because it's an Avera, a mitzvah Bavi Avera maybe, which there is such a discussion?
Right. The Pe'ulah that you did is no longer the same because it's not the pool of the mitzvah.
Okay, so, right, so then that possibility is interesting. You would think you could have that even without the Isser Baal Tosef.
Right.
Just doesn't fit the rules. So that's, again, why that whole relationship is interesting. Jed?
Why does the Rambam allow the adding Hadassah?
Yeah, that's also interesting. What's his source? He seems to see that Hadassim are there for beautification, and therefore it's more given to an increase in an aesthetic sense, but it is an interesting position.
Whereas the Rebos would not.
Right. It would be more of a specific Torah commandment. So this impacts a few other things. And, like we said, it also impacts the question we mentioned the other day of what about, let's say, sitting in a sukkah, not on Shmini Atzeres, sort of day after, but some day in the middle of the year. So we saw there were a few Rishonim, who the Ritva and the like, who say that's not Baal Tosef, while there are others who are worried that it is Baal Tosef. And perhaps that goes to this question as well. That is, it just that if you sit in the sukkah an extra day, when it's attached to the mitzvah, so then that will look like you are editing the mitzvah of sukkah. But to have it on a random day 6 months later, no. Or should we say that even having it on that random day, that essentially constitutes an addition to the package of the Torah, and therefore that's a problem as well. Now, you maybe saw the Gemara in Zvachim today, which talks about the Matanos, so Gabi and Mizbeach. Some Korbanos have one, some have four. And what happens if you mix it up and you don't know which is which? So can you just assign it one way or another? So the Gemara raises the problem that if it's supposed to be four and you do one, that could be Baal Tigra. And if it's supposed to be one and you do four, that could be Baal Tosef. So Tosus raises the question that since this is something you need to do to finish the obligation of Kachin, why don't we say Esse docha lo sase? So there's a concern of Baal Tosef, maybe. That's a lo sase. We say the mitzvah sase involved with the hakrava, that should be docha lo sase. So Tosus has a few answers, and on the side of the page, Gilyan Ashas quotes another view in the name of Tosus, that we can't say Esse docha lo sase because one of the exceptions to Esse docha lo sase is lo sase shebe mikdash. A prohibition associated with the mikdash is considered to be more chamer. So that's why we don't say Esse docha lo sase. So what's surprising about using that answer here? What Isra are we talking about? Baal Tosef, right? Baal Tosef is the Lotha Seish of the Mikdash. Yeah?
Okay, so how do you understand Lotha Seish of the Mikdash? It is a Lotha Seish which is occurring in the Mikdash.
Okay.
Which is, I assume it's how they're interpreting it in this case.
Or maybe it's about how you understand Baal Tosef. How could it be about how you understand Baal Tosef?
Well,
there are some who say like that maybe for whatever reason this Gemara is specific to Kachim. But there's another way to say it, Jed.
Depending on what mitzvah you're trying to add to, so Baal Tosef sort of takes that identity.
Excellent. Right. So maybe, and they saw a suggestion like this in a safer. Kamata Likhi was to say for Ahat Torah, but has a lot of essays from various Rashi Yeshivas and Mechaberim. So there's an essay there in Parshas Veschanan, by Baruch Solomon, who suggests that maybe the understanding here is that Baal Tosef essentially becomes a prat in every mitzvah that is relevant to. And so even though it's one mitzvah in the Torah, it's one instruction, actually two, which is also something to think about, but even though it's basically one instruction, but that instruction grafts on to every mitzvah that's applicable. So there's a Baal Tosef of tefillin, a Baal Tosef of tzitzis, etc., etc. So maybe there's a Baal Tosef here, so even though it's a reflection of a general Torah principle, but maybe it becomes a mitzvah shebe mikdash and therefore takes on that extra chum. Again, that's a reflection of Baal Tosef as an idea of how mitzvot are performed.
Yes, you said,
sorry, hands up.
Do you find this
hands up to Ibu? Well, in general, there is such a discussion by many fine concepts, Kholi, Prati, it's called. So certainly by Lifnei Ibu, there absolutely is such a discussion, which would take us way far afield. But yes.
No, I was thinking about it's a similar idea to try to say that some people say that Lifnei Ibu would be.
Right. No, there's absolutely that comes out to be a machlokes Rishonim, which you could demonstrate. But
so if you try to apply
Sure, what's it?
Too different either, which one would, it would just go on itself.
I'm not sure what that would mean. I have to think of a good example. But the concept of a quality property kind of question definitely comes up in that context. So now, let's bring these points together. Yes, Jed?
Is there enough for you of that kind of distinction?
Well, this might be one. You know, it takes on the property of kachim and becomes more bulsav, say, chomer.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. So, what would you say about the following question? Would you say that there is a concept of Baal Tosef by Mitzvah Rabbanim? What do you think? Is Baal Tosef limited to Mitzvah Dereisa, or does it apply to Mitzvah Rabbanim also? So I added some makoros this morning that may enter into that discussion. What do you think? Sorry?
You said if it's Darabon or Daraisa, right?
Well, if it applies to Darabon, we know it's a mitzvah Daraisa, the mitzvah Daraisa of Baal Tosef, but does Baal Tosef apply to Dinan Darabon also? What do you think? So, yes, Jacob?
If we follow the Rambam's reasoning, that it has to do with changing the corpus of the Torah, and Derabbanan are really directly the Torah, so changing them, Baal Tosef on a Derabbanan might not be changing the essence of the Torah, so it would be, there would be no concept of Baal Tosef there. Whereas the Raivid, who says it's expanding the range of the mitzvah, can see him going either way, meaning it's a Derabbanan. You might say you're still expanding the mitzvah. Not sure which way you would fall, but...
Right, but maybe, as I think it's well put, maybe there is a greater reason to think that it would apply, that if the general intent here is to say that when you have a mitzvah, you should perform it as instructed and not play with it, so then probably that should apply to mitzvah Rabbanan also. So there are a few interesting sources which seem to play a role here. One is the Mordechai that was on today's list. Anyone get to that? Mordechai and Megillah. So the Mordechai, you should take a look at this. Take a look at it tomorrow. The Mordechai in the beginning of Megillah, the very beginning of Megillah, discusses why do we not say Sveika D'Yoma by Purim, that we should observe it on Yadalit and Tesvah. And he suggests that there would be a potential violation of Baal Tosef. So some take this to mean that, oh, he's saying this Baal Tosef by Dinam D'Rabbanan. Now the truth is, you could quibble with that a little bit, because you could say that Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah, and therefore it's different both in terms of Chumrah and in terms of the whole impact here, that you're essentially affecting the intent of Sukkim. The Sefer Bigdei Yesha, he asks, why is this answer a good answer? Why shouldn't this be true by every Yantif then? We should say, we could never have Yantif Sheni. It should always be an issue of Baal Tosef. So the Kadosh Glover addresses this a little bit. I'm not sure if I totally connect with what he's saying. He suggests that when you have a Yantif Sheni normally, so then you have one day of Yantif, Minat Torah, and the second day is Midrabanan. So it's different, so it's not actually a Hosafa. But when you have 2 days that will both be Midrabanan, so the second day is now going to be equal to the first day, as would be the case with Purim, so that's particularly a problem. It's a little hard to see 100% because who's making the second day? So if you're going to say that it's Chazal making the second day, so then basically Hemomru, that's how they would be setting up Purim, and they should be entitled to do that. And if we're going to say it's somebody other than Chazal, then that also would not be on the same level, would be more comparable to the Daraisa Darabanan distinction of a regular Yantif. So I'm not so sure about this. There is also an interesting riff. The riff in the third parak of Brachos, which was also on today's list, if you see it tomorrow, adds a few key words to a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara there in Brachos talks about the concept. We have a notion of a tfilas nedava, that theoretically it's permissible for somebody to have extra tfilos in his day. If somebody's very concerned about something or very grateful about something, he can put in more tfilos in the course of his day. Despite that, the Gemara has it in that, let's say the calendar clock changes and you normally daven a late mincha every day, but now the clock changes the other way and we're able to daven mincha earlier. So you daven an early mincha. And then you forget and you go to the late mincha because you're not used to the schedule change, and you start davening a second mincha. And then in the middle you realize, wait a minute, I davened already. So the Gemara says you have to just stop. Just stop in the middle. And even though there's a concept of a voluntary tefillah, tefillas nedava, but you still can't switch midstream. You can't have your tefillah now count as nedava, this tefillah that you were doing as a chiyuv. So it's just invalid and you have to stop it. So the riff adds here the words that there's a concern of baltosif. So here again, his words are quoted to suggest that, oh, even when you have a nisa d'rabbanan, there is the possibility of, or a mitzvah d'rabbanan, rather, of tefillah, there is a possibility of bal tosif. Gila?
What exactly is a bal tosif on?
So it seemed like davening a second time with the intention that it should be a chol, that's the bal tosif.
Oh, with the intention of being
a... Yeah. Now, it's interesting. First of all, this is would be a case of just doing a mitzvah twice. That's self-interesting. But I'm not 100% sure, again, that this is a basis for reflecting on all mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Because his actual language there is that the mincha is keneged v'tmidin. It's meant to parallel the karbanos where there's a concern of bal tosif. So it sounds like he's saying it's not necessarily that the tefillah by itself would have generated the bal tosif concern. He's saying that the tefillos are patterned after the korbanos. The korbanos, were you to repeat them, adaita dechova, that would be a bal tosif problem. So therefore, davening a second time with adaita dechova also doesn't make sense. So it could be limited to just the impact of this tefillah korban relationship. I don't know if he necessarily means that every mitzvah d'rabbanan also has a bal tosif application. But this is also cited as a possible reference here, this Mordechai and this Riff, as possibly, presumably stating that by mitzvah d'rabbanan there is an issue of bal tosif also. This is something that the Prima Gadim talks about at some length. And his Psicha Kolelis, if you're not familiar with that say, for the Prima Gadim, the author of the commentary on Shulchan Aruch, has a very important sefer, as its name implies. It's like a general introduction to everything. And he talks about a lot of kolam. You can buy this in a few editions of independently published books. So Psicha Kolelis is available as single volumes. So in Chelak Aleph and Os Mem, he talks about it, and he assumes that this affects the question of Chanukah, that since we have a practice of Mahadran by Chanukah, of lighting extra candles for Mahadran, Mahadran, Min Mahadran, that that should be an issue here. So first, his suggestion is that some Rishonim say doing a mitzvah twice is not Bal Tosif. So that should help us for Hanukkah candles. But if you want to say that that doesn't answer bal tosif like the Rashba, so then what are you going to say? So maybe you have to say that there is no concept of bal tosif by the Rabbanos. Then he goes on to suggest that it all ties in to the Rambam and the Ramban about whether the Sasser is a mitzvah min haTorah that includes the obligation to follow all din of the Rabbanan. It's an interesting discussion. If you want to look that up inside, it's in Chelek Aleph Os Mem. Before the previous paragraphs, he talks about many other issues of Baltosu. So if you have some extra time to look at all of that, would be illuminating. But here, it would seem like this should also relate to our overall question. What is Baltosu? Is Baltosu about adding on to the Torah? In which case, we have to figure out how the mitzvah Drabanan is justified. But once we address that issue, it shouldn't be a Baltosu problem specifically to expand it. But if Baal Tosef is primarily about doing a mitzvah in a added-on way, so then maybe that should apply to Dinim D'Rabbanan also. Now, the Kadjik Lover we mentioned before, in Sefer Siach HaZadeh, so he has some interesting things to say, as always. So he expands on his previous point, and he says that if we mentioned before, Makom Shenagu, that if people are observing a practice that they think is actually the Din Min HaTorah, so then you're not supposed to allow that to continue because there is a problem of Baal Tosef. So based on this Mordechai and this Rif, it wants to say that this would also be true if there's something that's Mutu Lagamri, and they feel it is an Issa Drabanan. So again, you have to stop them. Because just like the Baltosis by Drabanans, so then adding on to the body of Drabanans in an inaccurate way would also be a Baltosis. It's a very interesting application. I'm not sure 100% that it really flows from that view of the Mordechai and the Rif. But it's a very interesting idea. Okay, Israel, you were half raising your hand? Okay. So, again, like I said, we could go on this topic much more. There's a lot more to say, but this does give us a little bit of a taste, a little bit of the gist of what some of the issues are. So maybe we'll stop here and we'll dive in. You have a question there?
Yeah, does the Rashi write it, sorry, does Rambam write it both agree that if you do, or if you're over Baal Tosef and you don't fulfill the mitzvah, then you should not discuss
that? Oh, so that's an interesting question also. So there you find, you can give some records to look at tomorrow also if you want, that there you find some conflicting sources. And it's interesting, some invoke the concept of mitzvah above the Aveira here. But since you would think that it should be self-evident that you really should, just because the mitzvah is not being followed in its rules. So the idea that you could have both coexisting, that there could be a violation of Baal Tosef, but still a fulfillment of the mitzvah, is a particularly interesting one. Okay, so we will stop here again tomorrow. We'll let you know what time and location, and we'll pick things up from there. Who wants to